You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell, and you've just been listening to the Hot Texas Swing Band with our friend Alex Dormont doing, what's the name of it?
Hot Texas!
All right, we're glad everybody's here.
Yeah. Well,
we have two special
guests with us tonight. Center stage will be shortly guest songwriter, recording artist, and really good friend Clint Bradley. But stepping in the limelight right now to start us off is award-winning author Catherine Brown Ramberger. Welcome, Catherine. We're excited to have you with us tonight.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Bobby, Jean, and Jim. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we love that. Tonight is Halloween, and we know that that's kind of you like Halloween. It sort of means something special. So we, for Halloween, for all of our listeners that are maybe listening while their doorbell's ringing, we are wearing our skull shirts. And that's the reason we have these on tonight is it's October 31st. You have anything special about Halloween that you like, Kathy?
I love everything. It's Easter and Halloween are my favorite holidays. And I love dressing up. My adult children still dress up. And we had a Halloween party in Geneva, Switzerland at my place of work. The people there didn't know what to do with the pumpkins. So it's a wonderful memory. It's a wonderful memory. If you're wondering who brought it over there, it was me.
No, it was you. Well, Jim has a little something to share about you, and then we're going to get right into talking with Kathy in the limelight.
Catherine Brown Ramberger. She's a lifelong writer who worked for many publications, including the National Geographic and International Red Cross. Before she became a humanitarian journalist, reporting on conflict, famine, and disasters in Africa, Europe, Middle East, and the United States. She's written two novels, The Fictionalized, which she has witnessed, and The Courageous People She Has Met, which are The Shores of Our Souls, and the title we'll be talking about tonight, the bestseller, A Thousand Flying Things. Her novels have won many awards, including a Forward Indies. She's a Sartin Award and Hemingway Award finalist and an International Pulpwood Queen's Book of the Year recipient. All right. And I have a quote we're going to read right now from the book. And this is from our main character, Diana Callaway, who says, "I don't want to save them all. I just want to save one." Welcome.
Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you both. What a beautiful quote. What a beautiful choice. I'm so happy to be here.
And happy to have you.
And I will say, as readers, I'm holding up the book again, A Thousand Flying Things. This book is full of magical and memorable and illustrative prose. And it was hard to just find something that didn't go on for a whole paragraph, because once you get reading this book, you'll read a I would give this advice: read a passage, close your eyes, go back and read it again. Because Kathy, you put us in the world in 1991 in an area that we probably aren't all familiar with. And that one quote that just That just stood out to me as one that really is representative of our main character, Diana. So you want to tell us a little something about yourself that maybe Jim didn't hit in the bio?
Sure. So I'm coming to everybody today from windy suburban Maryland outside DC. It's usually not windy here. We've had an unusually warm summer, and I think this wind is a bellwether for this wonderful show to come. Across the pond, it's coming. And a little bit about me, something that might not have been in the bio. I love to sing. I love to dance. I was ballet and tap into toe, and I still do bar and tap for exercise. I've got music in me too.
Very good. Very good.
We have something in common, and that is that you also have a podcast.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. Thank you so much for mentioning it, because I admire this show so much. So it's called Story Hour. I created it in March 2020 because, as most of us know, bookstores and libraries closed during that time. And I had a lot of author friends who had a book tour scheduled. So I said, let's take it online. It's in the middle of a transformation right now. I called it Story Hour to start, and it's still very much going to be a Story Hour. It's on YouTube and Facebook at the moment. Come next year, it will have a different name. I'll keep that to myself for the moment, but just to say it's got story in it still and human in it still, and that's what it's all about, I think. And until then, listen to it on YouTube. Archive is there.
Yeah, it's another wonderful way, if you enjoy the written word, it's another wonderful way to explore, and perhaps authors you're not familiar with, to our listeners and readers out there and writers who may be tuning into this show. You need to know about Kathy's show. Let's see. We want to go ahead and jump into the book.
I think we should
jump right into the book.
I'm ready.
Yeah, what was the inspiration to getting this started? You know, because this is, I think, a sequel to your first book.
It is. So as far as the whole series goes, I wanted to write about how love can heal in both of them. And I wanted to show two people that couldn't be more different. Kasim, who's my male protagonist, is older, he's divorced, he's into politics, he works at the UN, and Diana, the female protagonist, is working at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, actually, in the first book, The Shores of Our Souls, and they fall in love by accident under a disco ball, and chaos ensues, and family and friend judgment ensues, and they wonder if they can stay together. They think that other people are keeping them apart, and they do appear all throughout this trilogy. There will be a third book, but it's their secrets that they keep in their heart and their fears that is actually the challenge. And that's what they realize in the second book.
Mm-hmm. This book opens in 1991 in the Sudan, and it ends in 94, I think. And you give us every chapter heading kind of gives a date and a location where the action is going to take place. I, as a reader, really appreciate that. Sometimes I kind of get lost. And so that's we trust our authors to take us on the journey, and that I enjoyed that very much. And although I did not have the opportunity to read the first book, I did not feel that I was shortchanged. Would you say this is can be a standalone, Kathy?
Absolutely. I wrote it like that. I actually didn't expect it to be a sequel. So I made it into a sequel because people loved the first book and they loved the characters.
Characters.
And so I wanted to give them an ending. It's not the end of the ending, but it is an ending.
Stay tuned for that. This is, we have a sort of a war-torn landscape going on behind us as the book opens. It would be very easy to say, oh, this is a book about war or strife. I would say this is a book about love. Talk to us about what did you anticipate as you were writing it? What would it be?
So it's definitely both. And I anticipated that it would be about the healing power of love and how love is the real conqueror. But I realized that also that readers see it very much as a book about war, because especially this book, because it's in Southern Sudan, which had been at war for decades, if not almost a century, and Lebanon, which is again at war right now. And so, or at least a faction of Lebanon, I would say, is at war right now. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to show how war can tear us apart and then how love can bring us back together. Mm-hmm. And so it's been compared, and I'm so delighted by this comparison. It's been compared to Dr. Zhivago mm-hmm. and the Hemingway mm-hmm. novels. And so I think that there's no better way of telling the human story except through love and conflict. It's mm-hmm. just a wonderful setup for a writer, and I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
Very good.
You
want to say a word about our character, Diana?
Well, I want to say that she is getting stronger every day, and that I have amalgamated Diana in terms of everybody that I have known that has been on the humanitarian journey. I think her strength is work and her weakness is love. She's getting better though. And I've met many, many, many women humanitarians who are very much like her, and they feel abandoned or were abandoned as children. Mm-hmm. They had to grow up too fast, and they run away in a way to help other people in international organizations or charities, and then they meet each other and they fall in love and they can't make it work. And so they go back to work, and that's actually part of Diana and mm-hmm. Kasim, but I'm part of both of them. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good.
You want to ask your favorite question?
You know, we always like to think we got control of all our characters, but do any of them ever surprise you?
All the time. They lead the way. They have the driver's seat. I'm just along for the ride. I had no idea that they would meet under a disco ball in Manhattan in a smoke-filled mirrored room. That just came to me as an image, and then they started whispering to me. I didn't intend for Diana not to go back to Africa, but she does not. That might be a tiny spoiler, but it's not much of one. Yeah. So she doesn't go to Africa yet. Maybe in book three, she doesn't go back. But Africa comes to her in a very, I hope, interesting, adventurous way.
So I'm looking at that old clock on the wall, Ms. Kathy. Tell us, what are you working on next?
I am working on a memoir because so many people wanted to hear my real story. Mm-hmm. And it's called, it's a coming of age memoir. It's called My First Fiancé, My Early Misadventures in Love, Squalor, Misogyny and Mayhem. And it's funny and sad all at the same time. 1978 to 1981.
We remember those years.
About my college years and my first ventures into DC and my first year at National Geographic. And of course it's about love.
Yeah.
So you'll learn a lot more about me in that book. And then I'll come back and do the third book in the trilogy.
Where can people find you and follow you?
My website is Katherine Brown Ramsperger. Ramsperger is spelled R-A-M-S-P-E-R-G-E-R. There's no B, there's no U. Nice German Swiss name, and hard to spell. And it's KatherineBrownRamsberger.com, but you can Google me and you can find me at Kathy Ramsberger on just about every social media except TikTok, Kathy Ramsberger 5.
All right. Well, we have been talking with our Limelight guest, Katherine Brown Ramsberger, and her book, A Thousand Flying Things. And Kathy, we hope you'll come back in 2025. We definitely need more time to share your story. So we'll get that on the calendar. And you and we have something in common, the Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. We're going to take a word, hear a word from them. And if you're a writer, you need to find out what these folks can do for you. Kathy, have a really great night. We'll chat with you about next year soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Looking Kathy. Forward to it. Thank you.
Happy.
Rendezvous with a Writer is sponsored by Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, your author publicity and book marketing team. Experience, trusted, effective. Contact them today at bluecottageagency.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We've just been talking to Katherine Ramsberger. Now, our special guest tonight will be Clint Bradley from the UK.
Across the pond, as they say. Welcome, Clint. How delightful to have you with us tonight.
Oh, I'm delighted to be with you, and even more so that everything's working.
All right.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's see. Jim has a little something. Do you want to just go ahead and start?
Yeah, let's do a quick bio.
Something about you, Clint.
Yeah. What a treat we have for you. Clint Bradley joins us from his home, as he says, in the Shires, an area of southern England. His original songs reflect a deep respect and passion for the West, its landscape, its history, and its people. Duncan Warwick of Country Music People magazine has said of Clint's album, Soul of the West, you have to go back to the very best of Marty Robbins to find anything as good as this. Welcome, Clint.
Oh, that's, thank you very much. I treasure that review. Because I was very nervous when I sent it to Country Music People, because I've read some hairy ones, but I was relieved to get that one.
You know, I was looking on the internet because I want to check out the magazine again, because I hadn't checked it out for a while. It's, you know, they say they're the oldest magazine out there in country music, and I think that's pretty impressive. But of course,
it is. I mean, I've been taking it for years. I mean, it's really the only. I'm not saying that because I'm biased, because I had a good, but it really is the one to read. You know.
Yeah.
About all the genres that fall under the umbrella of country music, of mm-hmm. which obviously mine is more of a niche, being right. Western music.
Western. But, yeah. We all spend a little bit of time trying to help folks understand there is a difference, don't we?
Yeah. It's an ongoing quandary that.
So Clint, growing up, as in, we made reference in the bio, but growing up, there you are in the Shire. And growing up, you found the West. Tell us a little bit about how you found it and how it just grabbed a hold of you.
Well, I mean, my journey, I suppose, through to the West in the beginning, like a lot of kids, was through the screen. You know, we had a great tradition here in England that rainy Sunday afternoons, there would always be a Western on the TV. And I used to sit, it was the high point of my week as a kid. And when I'm talking the classics from Searchers, Shane, Stagecoach, The Alamo, you keep all of them, you know. So, and then as time progressed, I became more and more interested in the soundtracks of the films. That, of course, led me then to literature and history, of a more factual nature of the West. And that opened a whole new door. Bearing in mind, I'm talking now still really being at school, but starting to discover literature that I could actually go out and buy with my pocket money, which was quite unusual for a 15, 16-year-old kid, you know. And then I suppose that just fueled the interest and the passion and the interest. I think, you know, someone once said to me, a friend of mine in the States said to me, he said, I've always thought about you as when the stork picked you up, he dropped you off in the wrong place. he said he slung you out in Montana or Wyoming, which would have been great. But I think when you're outside of something and you have a passion for it, it is unusual. It is an unusual thing for me here to love the West that much. Yeah. But I kind of see it. And of course, my first visit to the real West, physically, to the Northwest, you know, Montana, Northwest Idaho, all those places, it was mind-blowing for me. And so I kind of experienced, I think, a little bit of what people did 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. So coming from Europe, you know, people from all over Europe coming to the West as they did, that kind of experience of the space, the grandeur, and I have to use the word, the complete freedom spread out before them in this panorama. It's quite mind-blowing for someone who lives on an island, which has beauty. And we have places here, you know, which unbelievably are wilderness, but nothing like you experience when you travel to the continent.
When's your first come to the States, Glenn?
My first time was late 80s, 89.
Yeah.
I was in my 20s then, and you know, very, very young and green. Traveled around a bit. First kind of entry into the music industry, searching, I suppose, searching to fit the square peg and square hole kind of thing. But that was my first physical visit to North America.
Clint, we want to get to, especially since you're talking about that trip west, we want to talk about the title track from this fabulous, and I'm holding up the vinyl. It is available also in CD, but having the vinyl, it really fills the screen. I love that. So, Clint, just tell us a little bit about, set up this song for us, and then we're going to go ahead and have Sam of LA Talk Radio play it. So tell us a little bit about Soul of the West.
Okay, so when I first went to the Northwest, some friends of mine kindly took me from Northwest Idaho into Montana. And when I first saw that expanse that we all know, what they call the big sky, it just, even now my hair's prickly. I just had to say, you know, can you stop? Can I just get out? I just want to look at this for a minute. And the first verse of the song I did actually write there and then. And I didn't finish it till I got home, which was quite a few months later. And the finished song was almost, you know, a couple of years later, because it was a thing I kept revisiting that moment. And I wanted to make it as perfect as I could. So it really is a truly transatlantic song, Soul of the West.
All right. To our listeners, just close your eyes and go with Clint across the West. Here is Soul of the West, written and recorded and performed by Clint Bradley.
Out of the West it came like a hurricane into my soul, blowing across me, around and above me. The wind of the west sweetly blows.
over the mountains and under the moon, out on a prairie of blue. Stars shine like diamonds and nightbirds sing harmony too. To the soul of the West, on a mountainside, one snowy night, I said a prayer. I asked the Lord if he would fix it for me to return back here on my island deep down in the shine on the night when the wind sings its tune. I look above me and watch the clouds traveling through to the soul of the wind. I be yearning to feel the wind on my face, to be back on the mountain with the eagle again.
You've just been listening to Soul of the West. What a great song. From this album here, Soul of the West. How long did it take you to put the album together, Clint? How long did you work on it?
Well, like all the songs, I kind of run my own. I like all writers, whether it be prose or music, of our own quality control system. Yeah. So, you know, you write and you write, and somehow you just whittle it down to, you know, you're going to go in the studio, right. which of course these days is not cheap. So yeah, it was those songs were over a course of years. The previous album, had been kind of 4 years before that, the previous Western album. The actual recording, was fairly the live side of it fairly quick, because obviously everything's recorded live in that they're real instruments, and the time was spent by an excellent co-producer and sound engineer, a friend of mine here called Darren Allison. We just spent the time getting the sounds as best we could to those instruments, those acoustic instruments, with our foot always in the Studio B camp of those classic recordings, you know, that Marty and other people managed back in the day, but aided by the contemporary benefits of a studio in the present day.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a comment, Jim, you wanted to make?
Well, that's why I kind of that question. I wouldn't make a comment, okay. You know, on how to put it together. But, you know, a lot of times albums, you know, get put out there, whether it's CDs or whatever they are, and maybe have 8, 10, 12 songs on them. And maybe you have a couple good ones. Maybe
one. Everyone is good.
Yeah, and the rest of them are, well, we had to put something on there.
Not this album.
But it's always great to see, you know, your albums are like the collection of greatest hits. Right. You know, every one of them's good.
Every song is great.
Oh, that's very kind. That's thank you very much.
We're going to get to two more if we can in this little short set. So next off, again, from the same album, Soul of the West, I want you to set up the lightning ride. And then Sam is going to play it. So we're talking again about this album.
Yeah. Yeah, The Lightning Ride, very briefly. I love Western art. We've discussed it before, I know. And when I was in the States, I went to a couple of exhibitions. I just absolutely love it. Unfortunately, I don't have one of those houses big enough to hang it in. But there was an artist I discovered online when I was having one of those rainy afternoons surfing Western art. A guy by the name of Chuck DeHaan, who's in Texas, and he's a superb Western artist. And one of his paintings is called Turning the Leaders. And it literally it depicts a cowboy under a lightning sky in a stampede. And it just transfixed me. I had it on the screen of the PC, the computer in front of me for an hour just looking at it. And this song, just it's one of those moments. The song was finished by the end of the day.
All right, listeners, close your eyes. Here we go on the lightning ride.
Sabers of white lightning cutting wounds into the sky. White horses on the lake tops and a sheet of rain 5 miles wide. The herd is getting edgy as the cowboy starts his ride. He's gotta find the balls. This herd man. Devil's riding herd on the earth tonight. The lightning ride, the lightning ride. The Lord delivered me from the lightning ride. Thunder cloud battleships hanging low in the sky. Getting narrow in the canyon that you find. Just then the lightning strikes, and you can hear the cowboy cry. Oh, the lightning ride, the lightning ride. The devil's riding herd on the earth tonight. The lightning ride, the lightning ride. The Lord delivered me from the lightning ride.
The lightning ride, a great song.
Thank you.
Oh, Stampede, there's nothing like it, right?
Speaking of vinyl here, I say, Clint, here in the States, vinyl seems to be making a little bit of a comeback. Is that same over there?
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to see, and funny enough, I say I've just been we've done a couple of shows in Scandinavia. We go there most years, and it's the younger people that want the vinyl. It's funny, you know. When I'm, we've got the merchandise stall set up after the gig. Most of the people that are buying the vinyl, they're all. They're all like the youngsters, you know. It's the older, older folks who want CDs. The young kids, younger people. I say kids, you know, they're probably in their 30s. Yeah. But they want vinyl, you know.
Well, do you think that they have actually sort of skipped the CD? They've just grown up with, you know, MP3 streaming, and suddenly they get vinyl, and it's like, wow, this sounds so great.
Yeah, I honestly do. And a lot of, you know, in Europe, you know, music enthusiasts, they really do, as you know, go into the genre deeply. And they do realize that, especially with this genre of music, acoustic music, whereby all the instruments are acoustic, there's no electric instruments, vinyl just complements acoustic instruments so well. It's just organic, without wanting to sound a little bit arty, you know. The organic texture of the instrument just translates so much better through the vinyl when it comes out the speakers at you. It's just that kind of little bit of magic. It's that little bit of magic which you can't explain.
You're going to ask him to go ahead and set up the next song, and I'm going to hold up because it's from his first album.
Yeah. Yep. A Fine Horse.
From Riding After Midnight. And this is the album, Clint, where we met you. And this is the album where we fell in love with Clint Bradley.
Oh, that's very kind.
Yeah, I remember picking that thing up at the CD of it at our mail drop, and I thought, somebody from Finland was sending us a
because it was
that's CD. The label. Yeah, my that's it. The record label that I record for, they are based in Finland. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about a fine horse, and then yes, Mr. Indeed. Sam, well, Sam will put it on.
As talking about literature, of course, McMurtry, Larry McMurtry's trio of books, which I've probably read more times than I could care to mention, and then obviously that led me to looking into Lovin' and Goodnight, and the Lovin' Goodnight trial, you know, the supposedly factual side of things. But needless to say, the book, and obviously, you know, Lonesome Dove is the one that everyone knows, because it's the one that the TV series, which was phenomenal. You know, I mean, I read some of the other day, Robert Duvall was saying, I realised when we were making Lonesome Dove, we were making the godfather of Westerns. He knew how good it was. Yeah. And it is. It's you know, I've watched Lonesome Dove as many times as I've watched The Searchers and Shane, and that's saying something. And there is a line in the book and in the film where his character, Gus, he looks at Newton, says, you know, there's nothing like riding a fine horse through new country that you've never seen before. And again, I kind of, my visit to the Northwest, I thought, I kind of get what he means, you know. It's just incredible. Yeah, you know, I'm on foot. I'm not on a horse, but it's just that it always comes back to that. The feeling of freedom, which we're losing so rapidly now, going somewhere, you know, where no one's going to tell you what to do, and you're just going to head out, you know. And it's, again, for someone born and raised on an island, that is it's quite a thing. It's very hard to bottle it and explain it, but it's always so there.
We are going to get on a fine horse. Clint Bradley, right now, a fine horse.
There's a dream for sale, but the price is high. There's a dream and me, the juice won't die. When the sun sinks down low in the western sky, I began to dream, I began to cry. And it's calling, calling, and it's calling to me. There's a letter written deep in my soul. I wonder, will it be delivered before I'm too old? Riding a fine horse through new country tonight. And the dream gets stronger as the years hurry by. And it's calling, calling. Yes, it's calling to me. It's moonlight and shadows, that's my cowboy time. I dream of a life that could never, oh no, never, oh no, never.
Fantastic. Oh. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh, A Fine Horse, written, recorded, performed by our good friend Clip Riley, our special guest tonight. And it's from his first album, Riding After Midnight. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Clint. Stay tuned. We're going to step away just to tell you about one of the places that you can find all of the books of our Rendezvous with a Writer guests. And that is our Out West Shop Bookshop affiliate page. Don't go away. There's more conversation and music with Clint coming right up. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Clint Bradley, and we're playing some super, super songs here. You know, Clint, you've been on tour, so where you been lately?
Wow, we've been pretty busy lately. We've been to, we've just come back from the far north. We've just come back from Scotland, actually. We were playing in Kelso last weekend, which was a fabulous, really good festival we did up there. Previous to that, we were in the northeast the week before. A place called Stays. Previous to that, we were in Switzerland the week before that. And then before that, we were down in the West Country. That's the West Country here. So Somerset. And then
you sent me a YouTube link to a festival in Spain.
It was Spain. That was a little while ago.
Okay.
But that was
great.
Fantastic, wonderful audience at that show. There's an event there every year in Torremolinos, and it's called the Rocking Race, and the guy that runs it really, really has hit upon a formula whereby he will mix the genres. So you're gonna get like rockabilly and country, and a bit of bluegrass. And there's two main stages there, two halls, and it is absolutely packed. You know, I mean, the night we played, it was incredible. The place was wall to wall, and the response from the audience was phenomenal. It was quite emotional. You can see in that video. I mean, that's just a phone video, I know, but you can feel the vibe. It was a great, great night, man.
That's fabulous.
Listen, music is popular all over.
Yeah.
It is great.
Did you have another question?
Oh. Yeah, we got another song.
We have one more song. We'll keep chatting with Clint, but we have one more song ready to go. Do you want to?
I did have another question about traveling. You know, you got equipment, and you guys got suitcases and all kinds of stuff you carry with you. Do you really travel light? And if you travel, when you travel, do you have somebody help you, or you guys just lug all this stuff around yourself?
We literally lug it all ourselves. When we're playing in the UK, we travel in a van. We carry our own PA system, our own instruments. Some of the time we'll have a PA supplied. A lot of the time we're playing out of the way places. We have to set up our own PA, all our own equipment.
Wow.
Do the show, pack it up, pack it down, drive on. When we play abroad, it's easier because we fly in. We're a very simple setup live. It's two acoustic guitars, a double bass, one snare drum and brushes. Sound engineers love us because we're nice and easy. But, you know, so literally, we walk on with our guitars. And with the double bass, obviously, our bassist, they have to supply one because we can't take that on the plane.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The next song that we're going to do, Clint, is near and dear to your heart and ours as well, Liberty Wind.
Yes, Liberty Wind, yeah.
That's okay. That's okay, Sam. Thanks for starting it off. Clint, a very quick statement about Liberty Wind, and then we're going to bring it on.
Well, okay, just briefly, I love the word liberty, and how can I put this without it? I just feel that never in my lifetime has that been under threat on both sides of the pond as it is now. And if you look up the word, it says, you know, liberty is the right of an individual to live free from oppression of his way of life, his political views, by authority. And that, certainly for me, where I am right now, is I feel in serious jeopardy. Obviously, this song was written some time ago, but, you know, I can feel it all around me. And yes. That's all I should say, really.
Liberty Wind from Soul of the West.
If the gift is two or three, let the liberty wind blow over me. Liberty wind, blow across my soul. Liberty wind, let your freedom blow. Liberty wind, blow the dust away. There's war in the west, and it's coming our way. It's coming our way. Fruit trees standing all alone in a field of weeds where lives are sown. See the apple fall from the tree, and on its heart the weeds will feed. Let the lies be left behind. Look for the truth and then decide. See right through the talking screen to the truth behind. And all it means. Liberty wind, blow across my soul. Liberty wind, let your freedom blow.
All right, Liberty Wind.
From Soul of the West. So, Clint, where can people find you?
Well, I am in a variety of places, as we all are these days, on the internet. I've got obviously got a Facebook page, artist page, which is just Clint Bradley, an Instagram page, the same, and my website, which is clintbradley.co.uk. Which is now up and running again. We've had a few technical. I checked tonight and it's there. We had a problem, a little bit of a problem with the host. And sometimes, you know, after a gig, it gets a lot of hits, and that also causes a little bit of an issue. But if you just stick my name in Google, as we say, you'll find something.
Jim, do you have a quote?
Well, I have a quote and a little announcement here. We have a quote from Marty Robbins. Every cowboy sings his own sad song, but it's the lyrics that we find our own shared humanity.
Yeah. So you know, true.
Just a quick thought out there to our listeners and readers. If you're an immigration attorney or you're an entertainment attorney,
he needs help.
Our fellow artists in the UK have a tough time getting a performance visa to perform over here in the States, as crazy as it may sound. But I know if one of you folks out there is listening, you might have the answer. And just shoot us an email at Bobby Jean Bell. That's B-O-B-B-I, Bobby Jean Bell, @gmail.com. And we'll take it from there.
See if we can get Clint over here. So thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you to Clint Bradley for being our center stage guest, and Catherine Brown Ransberger for 1,000 Flying Things, who started us off in the limelight. Next week, we start off November, and it's the first Thursday in November. Henry Park always is back in the limelight, the film editor for True West Magazine and author. And we're very, very excited that our center stage guest on November 7th is Craig Johnson, creator of the Longmire series. And I'm holding, thank you to his publishers, a version so we could read it of his brand new book coming out about 3 days after he's with us, Tooth and Claw. So do be planning to be with us November 7th. Do you have anything else you want to say?
We always say it's always a great day out west. Thank you, Clint.
Thank you for being with us, Clint and Catherine. See you down the trail.